Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com. /awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Welcome to Breaking Beauty, the podcast all about the breakthrough people, products, and moments in beauty. We're your hosts, Jill Dunn and Carlene Higgins.
Welcome back to Breaking Beauty Podcast, everyone. I'm Carlene, and I'm here with my trusty sidekick, Jill Dunn. Hello, Jill.
Hey there, Carlene, and hey, Breaking Beauty fam. So today we have a really exciting episode. We're welcoming two young Indigenous women to our show who have together amassed nearly 3 million followers on TikTok, earning headlines on Vogue.com and Teen Vogue, collabs with big beauty brands like L'Oreal Paris, Clarins, and Redken, and now they're starring together in a major beauty campaign with Sephora to help celebrate Indigenous History Month in Canada.
Joining us on the mic, we have Montreal-based Inuk throat singer and content creator Shaina Novalinya and Winnipeg-based Nahaina content creator Michelle Chubb. They are two young Indigenous resilient women reclaiming their Indigenous heritage and sharing their journey with us along the way on social media.
Love to see it.
And I mean, hat tip to Sephora Canada, quite honestly, who, in addition to the 15% pledge, which started a year ago, we know that was all headed up by fashion designer Aurora James. They're now building on what Sephora is doing in the US, and they recently announced that they're committing 25% of their brand offering to BIPOC-owned brands by 2026. And another exciting thing, we recently learned that one of our favorite Indigenous makeup brands, Cheekbone Beauty, will be entering Sephora Canada later this year. Go, Jen! Major congratulations to Jen Harper. She started the business with $500 in her basement. If you want to hear the backstory behind her kick-ass lipsticks we are obsessed with, go back and have a listen. That episode's in our archives. It's episode number 41.
Yeah, I just love to see this movement around BIPOC-owned beauty. Carlene, I know like Target has committed $2 billion to help support diverse brands on their shelves by 2025. And Ulta has doubled their offering of BIPOC-owned beauty brands on shelves by the end of 2021. Plus, they've invested like millions and millions of dollars to create a whole ecosystem around these brands to support them. So it's not just like, let's clear shelf space. Here you go. It's like, no, we need to market and we need to educate around the brands. And it's that whole ecosystem that really is exciting to see because it's going to mean that more of these brands will thrive.
Mm-hmm. And I think just watching this campaign come to life, honestly, it was completely Indigenous artists who worked on it, from like the photographer to the producer, Serene Fox, the makeup artist, hair and the clothing and everything. So I just think that's so cool. I know there's like a new all Indigenous based modeling agency that just opened last month out of BC. So there really is a movement happening. And again, we're so excited to introduce you to just two of the faces who are rising up right now. Today, we're going to be chatting with Shina and Michelle about how these two young women are educating and inspiring through their traditional takes on the beauty glow up, their native fashion, and how they feel about starring in the groundbreaking beauty campaign. And we're going to talk about steps we can take to be an ally in the movement.
So welcome, Shina and Michelle. Pausing for a quick break in partnership with The New Co. Gather around, everyone. I'm going to tell you about a new inside-out skincare secret from The New Co. So The New Co, they're a natural and organic supplements company, and they're designed to work with your body. And their latest daily supplement is a dermatologist-approved formula, and it's meant to help brighten your skin and improve your elasticity while reducing blemishes, dark spots, and pigmentation over time. Sign me up. So what it does, it uses a patented blend of champagne grapeseed and melon, as well as some key ingredients that we often see on the labels of our favorite topical skincare serums like vitamin C and zinc. And it's also boosted with beta carotene, which when it's ingested, our body converts that to vitamin A. And we know that's a potent anti-aging ingredient. So really what I like about skin filter, aside from the absolutely gorgeous bottle that you definitely want to have on your vanity, very apothecary style, it's just one capsule a day, and it's really about the long game with getting your skin looking its best. In fact, it's clinically proven to show results in just 30 to 60 days. So you can try all the products available from The New Co, including their products for gut health, stress, and sleep, and get 20% off using our code BEAUTY. So visit thenewco.com. That's thenueco.com. Once again, visit thenewco.com and use our code BEAUTY at checkout for 20% off. Once again, visit www.thenewco.com and use our code BEAUTY at checkout for 20% off. We'll link to that offer in our show notes and on our blog. Now back to the show.
Why don't we start by introducing both of you? Shina, I know you've amassed like 2.4 million followers on TikTok in just over a year. It's incredible. Tell us a little bit about you, where you're from, and what's led to all of the attention.
Yes. So my name is Shina Novalinga, and I was born in a small town called Pouventouc. It's in Nunavik of Quebec. It's a northern Quebec, and I came down south with my mother, and yeah, on TikTok, it was really just for fun in the beginning, and my mother was actually the first person to post throat singing videos, and that's how she got so much recognition, and she had so much love, and then that's when I wanted to do the same. Like, she definitely made me more comfortable to wanting to share our culture, and everything started from there. People really loved, loved singing. So
very cool. Your videos are awesome. So if our audience isn't familiar with throat singing or the meaning in your culture, can you shed a little bit of light on that? I believe that it's a kind of like a bit of a game as well, right?
So Inuit throat singing is usually done between two women facing each other. And it's very informal. So there's no time and place to throat sing. And it's really just a game right now. But in the past, it definitely many different, there was many reasons why women would throat sing. It would be either for a competition, a game, a lullaby for their children, to win objects. There was many reasons why women would throat sing, but today it's just a game.
Yeah. Your mom even has like 500,000 followers. It's unbelievable. And Michelle, you are also blowing up on social media right now. And of course, you're the face also of the current Sephora Canada campaign. So tell us, you know, where you're from and how this adventure all started for you.
Of course. Yeah, I was born and raised in Winnipeg in the South End. And I would occasionally go to my res 8 hours away to go visit my grandparents. And that's where I learned most of my culture. And my aunties actually taught me how to jingle dress dance. And that's where I came in love with the culture and powwows. We would always go to powwows in the summers each res has a powwow every weekend. We would show up and just dance and have fun. But it was also challenging growing up in the city also, because you feel like you don't belong anywhere. And it's sad because, like, you don't belong. And, like, also in the res, you don't belong because you're not native enough for them because you live mm-hmm. in the city. And, yeah, that's mm-hmm. where my journey began.
Yeah, you know, we interviewed Jen Harper, the founder of Cheekbone Beauty, and she talked about that experience too, having that similar mm-hmm. feeling of being caught between two worlds. And I'm curious if there was like one video in particular that people really responded to on TikTok where you started realizing like, whoa, there's a lot of people on here who are interested in what I'm doing.
When I first started bringing out my jingle dress and showing it off on TikTok, that's when a lot of people were engaged and really like odd and in my culture. And that's when I started sharing about more, because not everyone knows about Indigenous people. And there's like a whole bunch of supporters all over around the world who are very fascinated by the culture. And yeah, I think the most viewed video right now is of me and my boyfriend just reenacting a painting of two Indigenous people that are a couple. And mm-hmm. yeah, that's the most viewed.
I just looked at that one like 10 minutes ago. I love that one.
That's cool. What can you just, since we are a podcast, can you just describe what your dress looks like that sort of caught people's attention, the one that you're wearing?
Yeah, it was actually the first one I ever made. It's a red dress. It has gold jingle cones and it has some flowers on the sleeve, some blue flowers and white flowers that also have leaves. And mm-hmm. it's really big and I like it.
Yeah. Cool. And so it jingles when you dance, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It makes a lot of noise, especially when you're walking.
Yeah, that's okay. Awesome.
Awesome. So do you remember, Michelle, some of the comments you were getting first on TikTok? Because there's so many supporters, like you say, but I personally find there's annoying trolls on every social media platform. So what were some of the positive and maybe like ones that you were like, oh, that's annoying?
At first, there was a lot of hate. You just got to try to get through that hate. And then you get support from others because, again, they're really fascinated by the culture and they want to learn more. So yeah, it's a variety of comments I get, but it's mostly support.
And so you're making these connections online. And I'm curious if for either of you, has this led to any new like real life friendships or mentoring that's been meaningful for you?
When I first saw Michelle on my For You page a long time ago, when I first started TikTok, I think, Michelle, you were the first Indigenous creator that I saw, honestly. And my mother and I were admiring you and we were like huge fans. So yeah, when we met each other on Sephora in Toronto, we freaked out. It was such a special moment. I think like we're really growing Native community on these platforms and we're all connecting. And like, I'm also looking forward to meet like other Indigenous creators, you know, we're, mm-hmm. there's a huge support there. And it's a connection, like so powerful, different, and emotional, you know, it hits you in the heart when you connect with everyone.
Of course, both of you, Shaina and Michelle, you caught the attention of Sephora, which you just mentioned. So what did that feel like? You're like stars of a beauty campaign, like your faces are on billboards, you're in stores, the ones that are open anyway, TV commercials, all over social media. So can you put into words what that's been like?
I know for me, I was really excited and humbled to be picked as one of the models. It's actually a dream of mine since I was young to become a model and have my face on a billboard and also in stores. So it's really nice that Sephora asked me.
Same here. I was very shocked and surprised when I was younger as well. I always wanted to be a model, but I didn't know I was going to get there this way, to be honest. When I was younger, we didn't have much Indigenous representation. Well, we didn't have any. And I always tried to look different or be different to fit in. And then when I completely changed that on social media, on TikTok with myself, with my mom, and I started really embracing, really loving my Inuit culture, being myself, that's when, you know, all these opportunities and all these things came to me. And that's when I realized how important it is to be yourself and to love yourself the way you are, and honesty and self-love, that's when things come to you. So it made me realize a lot of things when Sephora asked me to be part of this. And like Michelle, I was so grateful, really shocked and excited at the same time. It was really like so much mixed emotions.
I'm curious about your beauty looks and how. This is a podcast, so we'll need you to describe what your beauty look was in the campaign. But how did it come together? And was there any like special meaning to your beauty look?
It was honestly a process. We all had like different makeup and different outfits. I know for me, I got ready in my regalia, my green jingle dress that had copper jingle cones. And it felt really special to be able to showcase my regalia in a picture, because to have your culture shown in a billboard, that's pretty awesome. And mm-hmm. Indigenous people to like look up and like say, hey, that could be me, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's really empowering that we're able to show our beauty through that mm-hmm. campaign.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. And how about you, Shaina?
Mm-hmm. We had many different looks, and all of them were so beautiful. And I'm so glad that we were able to wear everything from Indigenous artists. So even the earrings, I was wearing beluga earrings, and the hat, you know, everything was handmade. Everything was inspired by Indigenous artists, and we had Indigenous designer. So it was so empowering to finally wear something very proudly. Mm-hmm. And I also got to use my mother's silapak, it's called. And she sewed it all on her own. She put fox fur and traditional. It was very traditional. And there was beads. I felt really powerful wearing her handmade silapa, because I know how passionate she is for sewing. Mm-hmm. And like Michelle said, it was just so beautiful to wear it on set and to see it in Sephora store. I was like, wow. I was also wearing a silkskin headband made by a Inuk friend as well.
Mm-hmm.
A very talented artist that worked on all of it.
Beautiful.
And what about, did you wear tunit? Is that how you pronounce it? The
yes,
tattoo?
One on my chin.
Yeah.
Hopefully I'll get real tattoos once I get more information and I educate myself more on that and the history of it. But we did get to put tunit on my chin.
Okay. That's amazing. So that's traditional tattoos in Inuit. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Very cool.
So what has the experience been like, this journey of like reclaiming your Indigenous heritage and pride? And what message would you want to send to any youth who are watching out there?
For me, as someone who's still trying to reclaim, I would tell the youth to take their time, as much time as they need, to, you know, learn about the history, their culture, their heritage. I think there's no specific time to do it, and it's not a race either. I think it's important to, you know, embrace who you are. And yeah, I think it's really important. And it's been a journey for me personally, and especially growing in the city, I didn't have much resources, I didn't have elders or my people surrounding me a lot to help me reclaim my Inuit heritage, but I did have my mother, and yeah, I'm still learning a lot. And yeah, I'm really excited to go to NS, Nunavik Sivunit Sabut, which is a program in Montreal to learn about, you know, the history, Inuit history, culture, practices, and more. So it's different for everyone, but I definitely recommend to do it.
What about you, Michelle?
For me, it feels really empowering and special. Like what Shaina said, I wasn't able to express myself growing up in a predominantly white school. I was scared to be like looked at or like picked on. So it's really empowering to like show your true self. And for the Native youth out there, it is a journey. It's not easy to get into. You have like a lot to learn and like so many ceremonies to go to, but it is worth the journey to find yourself.
I love that. And, you know, I think one of the things, Michelle, just following you on TikTok too, is like, and I don't know if you intended this from the outset, but you're actually educating on the platform, you know, like teaching history. Like one of the things that I read about the residential schools, the last one closing in 1996, I would have thought it was years before, you know, like maybe back in the 70s or something. And a little bit of history there about the iconic Bay blankets. So I think it's like, were you intending to educate or just sort of morphed into that?
Honestly, when I started TikTok, I don't think that came to mind, but it just kind of came to me. In Canada, they don't really teach the history of Indigenous people. I know when I went to high school, I barely was taught in history of our people. I actually had to take a separate course, Aboriginal Studies course, in high school just to learn about my people. And I'm glad that my teacher pushed me to take that course, because if I didn't take that course, I don't think I would know as much as I do now. So yeah, it pushed me to teach others about us. I think it's really important that they know the history, and so they stop bashing us and silencing us, because there is a carrying trauma from whatever happened in history.
Mm-hmm. And recent history, of course, as we're saying, not long ago at all. One of the things I wanted to ask is, just speaking of social media and what we see out there, is, are there any examples of cultural appropriation that maybe you've seen on TikTok or elsewhere that, you know, do we want to just put that out there right now? What needs to go away in 2021, guys?
There's a lot of that on social media, a lot. And it's crazy to see that there are so many people supporting these kind of these kind of videos of appropriating our culture. And there's many different ways people appropriate our culture. And one of them is just using our clothing and sexualizing this, like, to be honest, a lot is sexualized, a lot is, and they just take the beauty of our culture and they don't understand the history or what we have gone through or what our grandparents, our parents, our ancestors have gone through to be doing something like that. A lot of them just take what they want to take and ignore, you know, what we're going through. So it's definitely, it hurts to see that on social media, and it hurts to see that there's still so many people supporting and saying it's not appropriating when people don't realize that they don't have a voice when if they're not Indigenous on that topic. And we still have a lot of work to do. We still have a lot more educating to do, and hopefully it changes, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I saw one of your posts, like, obviously, you know, the costumes in costume stores, like the Pocahontas costumes, they've got to go, you know? But I think there's also just like Coachella culture and stuff too, right? Michelle, you've got I can tell you've got an opinion on this.
Yeah, definitely. I always, when I first started TikTok, a lot of people would comment, "Oh, Pocahontas." And like, that really hurts, because And they don't really know the true story of Pocahontas. Her real name was Matoaka, and she was an indigenous woman to be taken and like raped, basically. And it hurts to be like called that, because to us, she's not just a princess character. She's a real indigenous woman. And also the mockery that happens on TikTok a lot is when people mock our music or mocking our dancing. They just do a lot of that and it just hurts. We are real people. We're not characters, cartoon characters that you see on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think there's all these microaggressions too, right? Like calling a meeting a powwow, for instance, or names of sports teams being like Redskins and Chiefs. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh my God, people are going around wearing these jerseys. It's so normalized that people don't even flinch. They don't even think of it in that context. All of these things are extremely problematic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm hoping more people will wake up to that fact. And seeing the representation in a medium like TikTok, I think, and educating younger people, I feel like that is the key to just exposing how problematic all of these things are.
Totally agree. And so I guess on that note, I wanted to ask you that finally, if anyone listening wants to be an ally in truth and reconciliation, what is one thing that you might encourage them to do right now, today?
Definitely support other Indigenous creators, artists, businesses, and listen to their story. A lot of them have their own story, and it's important to take a step back and just listen to our voice, what we had to say, our story, because a lot of them do speak about their story. And it's really important to do that, to be an ally and to support. That's, I think for me, that's the first step, at least.
Just because we are a podcast, I was curious if either of you have recommendations of podcasts that are Indigenous creators who maybe are sharing some of these stories. I feel like podcasts would be such a great medium to hear some of these stories more in depth.
I know Michelle was in the podcast with Shayla.
Yeah, the podcast is called The Matriarch Movement. She focuses on female voices of the Indigenous community. And there's a variety of like stories out there that she touches up on. And it's really cool to hear about all the different stories, because we're not all brought up the same.
Yeah,
I love that. And I think also being an Indigenous host will, you know, help guide the conversation in a much different way than, you know, mm-hmm. people like us that could ever do. So subscribe, add that one to my list.
Thank you so much. And thank you for your time today. And congratulations on Sephora. And we'll be following your journey and can't wait to see what comes next.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening. You can find details on every product mentioned in today's episode, along with our exclusive promo codes, on our blog at breakingbeautypodcast.com.
While you're there, be sure to sign up for our newsletter. Every episode will be delivered directly to your inbox, so you won't miss a single thing.
And get social with us. Let us know what you think of the episode. You can follow us on Instagram at Breaking Beauty Podcast.
And did you know we also have a private Facebook group? Just search Breaking Beauty Podcast Chat Room.
You can even leave us a voicemail at any time with questions or feedback at 1-844-227-0302.
And don't forget to subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast fix. Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts, where you can show us some love by writing a review.
See you next Wednesday.
Like a cherry bomb, like a cherry.